Coming up, Pastor Ray Bentley introduces today's study on Maranatha Radio.
We begin by seeing Moses sharing the desire which burned in his heart. He wanted to just go into the promised land for one day. This whole dream from the burning bush through the Red Sea and now all the way to the edge of the wilderness, he's that close. He goes, Lord, can I go in and see it? And God says, no.
Spread the news. All of his people coming down before the King. Lift your voice. Jesus is coming. Join the song. Sing along. Let it ring.
Welcome to Maranatha Radio with Pastor Ray Bentley. Maranatha, bringing the message of Christ's soon return, the whole gospel to the whole world. God's ways are high above our ways. It's no wonder we get baffled and flummoxed trying to understand our infinite God. But there are reasons for everything He decides and everything He does. And today, Pastor Ray gives some insight into one of the perplexing matters we see in the Old Testament.
Let's open our Bibles to my favorite book in the Bible, the book of Deuteronomy. You know, we almost could call this Jesus' favorite book. Of course, there was no New Testament when Jesus was here, so there was only the Old Covenant, Genesis to Malachi. And in the Gospels, the one Old Testament book Jesus quoted more often than any other is the book of Deuteronomy. So this morning's message, the gateway to heaven, we're going to kind of overview a few highlights from Deuteronomy chapters 3 through 7. Okay, so we're going to start in chapter 3, and I've been dropping kind of the life lessons as we go along, so we're going to start with the first one. To pray, thy kingdom come, is the desire to see heaven on earth. And we're going to find Moses praying because he wanted to see the kingdom come in the promised land. So we begin in chapter 3, verse 23. Moses is explaining again to a new young generation. The first generation has passed away in the wilderness because of their unbelief. They were not allowed to enter in. Now it's the kids. It's the next generation. They're on the edge of the Jordan River, crossing it into the promised land, and the book of Deuteronomy is Moses' exhortation, encouragement, motivational speech to this young generation who will actually be going into the promised land. So verse 23, he's talking to the 2.1 million Israelis there, and Moses says, then I pleaded with the Lord of that time, saying, O Lord God, you have begun to show your servant your greatness and your mighty hand. For what God is there in heaven or on earth who can do anything like your works and your mighty deeds? I pray, let me cross over and see the good land beyond the Jordan, those pleasant mountains and Lebanon. But the Lord was angry with me on your account and would not listen to me. So the Lord said to me, enough of that. Speak to me no more of this matter. Get up to the top of Pisgah and lift your eyes toward the west, the north, the south, and the east. Behold it with your eyes, for you shall not cross over this Jordan. But command Joshua and encourage him and strengthen him, for he shall go over before this people, and he shall cause them to inherit the land which you will see. And so we stayed in the valley opposite Beth Peor. So we begin by seeing Moses sharing the desire which burned in his heart. He wanted to just go into the promised land for one day. He just wanted to put his feet into the promised land. I mean, this has been his whole life, this whole dream from the burning bush through the miracles and the plagues of Egypt through the Red Sea and now all the way to the edge of the wilderness. He's that close. He goes, Lord, can I go in and see it? And God says, no. I've told you you can't go in. Don't even bring it up to me anymore, Moses, but climb up on this mountain and I'll let you look. You can look in and see it. Now, it's kind of a sad state of affairs. Why is Moses bringing this up? Because there were two times that Israel was without water. The first was 40 years ago. And that this is the parents' generation. They had just gone through all the miracles. They're on, you know, have gone through the Red Sea. They don't have water. And they go, "Oh, Moses, you brought us out into the wilderness to die of thirst." And God speaks to Moses and he says, "Take your staff, take your rod, and go strike the rock. Just one time, strike the rock and water will flow." So Moses did as he was told. He went up and he struck the rock and water came gushing forth enough to quench the thirst of a couple of million people. Nearly 40 years later, similar circumstances, only it's the next generation, and they run out of water. And they're crying out, "Moses, you brought us out all the way into the wilderness to perish." God speaks to Moses again a second time. But this time, he does not say, "Strike the rock." Instead, God says what? "Speak to the rock, and the water will flow." Well, Moses is so angry and frustrated with the people, he beats the rock because he's mad at them. And when he does that, graciously, God allows the water to flow. But then God says, "Moses, come here." He's like, "Yeah, what?" He goes, "I told you not to strike the rock. You blew it. You can't go into the promised land." Poor Moses. And the whole reason, you know, you say, "Well, what is the big deal?" Here's the big deal. The first time, the rock, and we find this out through the Holy Spirit in the New Covenant, the rock in the Old Testament was a type of Messiah. It's a type of Christ, Jesus. So the first time when he struck the rock, the striking of the Messiah was a picture of the cross. So Jesus was only to die once. He was only crucified once. He was only buried once. Once was enough. It paid for the sins of humanity for all time. So the second time, now the Lord is saying, that's like the Messiah. He's already been crucified. So now you just talk, you just speak to him, and the water will flow graciously. But because Moses, he misrepresented God as the leader of the people. And I, you know, Moses is incredible and we elevate him so high, but he was a human being. He misrepresented the heart of the Father. He got angry with them and God said, "I'm frustrated with them, but I'm not angry with them, Moses, like you. You've let me down and you've dropped the kids. I said, I will carry them when they can't carry themselves." And so because he broke the type, God says, "Now you can't, I don't want you to go into the promised land," because now in the New Testament we find that Moses becomes a living sermon of the Ten Commandments that were written on stone. And so what we find is that the Ten Commandments, which are holy, righteous, and good, and written on tablets of stone, but the Ten Commandments could not bring the children of Israel into the promised land. Moses becomes a type of the law and prepares the way that God will now have a new covenant where he writes upon our hearts. So now Moses is saying, "Okay, I get it. I misrepresented you. I blew it. But can I just go in for a little bit? Can I just put my feet on it? Got to just stand there just once?" God says, "No, and don't bring it up again." You ever done that as a parent? "Don't ask me that again." But then God says, "But I'll let you look at it." So we're left with that, you know, story, and like, oh man, poor Moses. But we go to the New Testament, the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 17. Jesus says, you know, he had his inner circle of disciples, but inside of that, he had another inner circle of three. Peter, James, and John were in the inner circle, and Jesus said, "Come with me." And he took the three, Peter, James, and John, to a high mountain. And while he was there, God allowed his true identity to be revealed. And the word used is he was transfigured before them. His hair, his skin, and his clothing became the brilliance of lightning. And his Godhead was manifest. But the Bible tells us that while Jesus was there, there were two men talking with Jesus from the Old Testament. Who were they? Moses and Elijah. The law and the prophets. But what I want you to notice is, if Moses is standing next to Jesus on a high mountain in northern Israel, where is he? Moses' feet are standing inside the promised land. How did he get there? Through Jesus. So the point is, Jesus can bring us where the law cannot. He brings us all the way in. Amen? Hallelujah. So it's a great type of prayer. Hebrews chapter 5, verse 7 is in your notes. Moses was praying. He wanted to see the kingdom. So let's read Hebrews 5, 7 out loud together. During the days of Jesus' life on earth, he offered up prayers and petitions with loud cries and tears to the one who could save him from death. And he was heard because of his reverent submission. Have you ever thought about Jesus praying and how he prayed? And this insight tells us that when Jesus, in the fullness of his humanity, and this is a very important concept to get, he was not half man and half God. He is mysteriously fully God and at the very same time, fully human. And here Jesus praying with petitions and loud cries and tears talking to his Father in heaven. But just as Moses longed, the reason he wanted to go into the promised land, he wanted to see where the kingdom of Israel would be established. Why? Because when the kingdom was established, especially under King David, it prepared the way for the coming of the Messiah. And now, even in heaven, here's interesting. So Moses, he wanted to go into the promised land. Guess what? Jesus in heaven yearns for something. He's already resurrected, he's glorified, he's seated at the right hand of the Father, but he yearns to move from where he is. Where does Jesus yearn to be? Back down here on earth. And when Jesus comes to, and that's his heart's desire, when he comes to the earth, he will be bringing all heaven with him. Amen? It's going to be awesome. So we too need to pray. That's why we pray, thy kingdom come. We want the kingdom to come because when we pray for the kingdom, heaven will come with it. Now let's go to the next life lesson. Those who cling to the Lord will experience kingdom living now. When you accept Jesus Christ, there is something more than just your going to heaven and there to experience eternal life. Literally, heaven or a portion of heaven itself comes and is deposited inside us by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the earnest or the down payment of everything that we shall receive then. So we already have eternal life now. We can begin experiencing and breathing, as it were, the very atmosphere of heaven in a close relationship with the Holy Spirit. So look with me in Deuteronomy chapter 4, verses 1 through 4. Moses writes, "Now, O Israel, listen to the statutes and the judgments which I teach you to observe, that you may live and go in and possess the land which the Lord God of your fathers is giving you. You shall not add to the word which I command you, nor take from it, that you may keep the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you." Does that verse sound familiar to anybody who's ever read the book of Revelation? The book of Revelation, the last book of the New Testament, says, don't add to the words of this revelation and don't take away from it. Did you know that's not the first time in the Bible that occurs? It actually begins in Jesus' favorite book of the Old Testament, the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 4, verse 2. Then in verse 3, he says, "Your eyes have seen what the Lord did at Baal Peor, for the Lord your God has destroyed from among you all the men who followed Baal of Peor." A judgment had broken out, and many people had died who worshipped the idol, read behind that, demonic spirit of Baal of Peor. But in verse 4, "But you who held fast to the Lord your God are alive today, every one of you." When you cling to the Lord, it's not just that you will live, but you are alive today. Kingdom living is for now. Now, the word that is used here in verse 4 for hold fast in the Hebrew is the word davak. It means to cling to or to catch by pursuit. To cling. I want you to go cling to that pole. You run to that pole and you cling on to it. Now, what's interesting is Moses says to the people, because you held fast, you were clinging and pursuing and holding on to the Lord, you were alive. You were spared the judgment of God that came at Baal Peor. This word that is translated hold fast The first time it is used in the Bible is in Genesis chapter 2, verse 24, and it's talking about clinging husband to wife and wife to husband. So read with me Genesis chapter 2, verse 24. Let's read this out loud. Therefore, a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and they shall become one flesh. See, I've underlined the word joined, and I've put there the Hebrew word, davak. It means when you run, when you catch, when you pursue, and then cling to that one, then you shall become one. That's the same word that is used of how we're to cling to the Lord, running with the Lord, pursuing the Lord, holding on to the Lord, that we are saved alive and even experience life now. So the kingdom life that Jesus offers is not just for the future or the hereafter, it is for here and now. Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believes in me shall never die or never perish. And so we love to cling to the Lord from life to life. I want to share with you a scripture, John chapter 7, verses 37 and 38. This is a fascinating insight into the Holy Spirit and the life of a believer and how and where the Holy Spirit manifests himself inside of us. So let's read this out loud. If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the scripture hath said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. Now, he goes on in the next verse to say, and this he spake concerning the Holy Spirit who is to come. Now, what I want to mention to you is, you know, a lot of times we read in the Bible about the innermost being, we read about the heart, we read about, you know, that which is deep inside. And when we read, as it's translated into English sometimes, heart, we think of, you know, the valve that pumps blood. And so your heart, with all your heart, and you're thinking, okay, my physical heart. But the actual word that is used to describe and is, you know, sometimes translated heart or innermost being or whatever, is sometimes this word, which really is the abdomen. It's the belly. This gets into the Jewish way of thinking. And it's not so much just where the Spirit resides as it is where he springs from. Now, I suggest to you that many times as Christians, we're all wanting to, okay, I need to learn, I need to know the Bible, I need to think about and gain understanding, understand the teaching, and then apply principles. And what can happen is we're living spiritually without realizing it out of our head. But in reality, if you want to be moved by the Spirit, it actually, the Spirit is like, how do I put this? If for a moment you take your focus from your head, and as you're thinking about your head and my problems, and have you ever felt like your head, when you're thinking about things and even spiritually trying to figure stuff out, gets tied up in a knot and you get a headache? Has that ever happened to anybody? You're all wrapped up here. So letting your focus go from your head to figure it all out, because that's where we get control and we actually can hinder the moving and the working of the Holy Spirit. You say, Lord, I know I can't figure this out mentally or intellectually, and we allow our focus just to drop down. And all of a sudden, this whole area that in the Old Testament it talks about, and even in the New Testament it talks about the belly here in the Gospel of John. And what's interesting is that I have seen and read articles that have talked about a discovery on just a physiological level that they are now describing. One article said that they're describing the abdomen as our second brain. And that while there's certain things that are going on in our conscious mind, you know, 2,000 times a second, there's another level where there are interactions that are happening at billions of times that are all that you're seeing, reading, interpreting, but it's not happening here. It's all happening down here within the belly. They call it the second brain. And this is the area where they're saying, where the scriptures and the prophets and Jesus says, from where the Spirit, it's like an artesian well That you can go there that is a place where it springs, it bubbles up, and it comes up. And it's where, have you ever heard of somebody saying, you ask, how did you know how to do that? I don't know, it was just a feeling I had in my gut. A gut feeling, an intuition. You're getting leading and guiding from the Spirit. And so the Spirit desires not for us just to live out of our heads. There's a place for knowing and understanding and growing and teaching and doctrine and all of that. But for the Spirit, Jesus said, out of your belly will flow rivers of living water. And so this is a beautiful way and time to look at that and to think about that. Okay, let's go on to the next life lesson. Because we're going to flow into this, the great command, the greatest command given in Scripture. We are commanded, listen to this, to love God. Did you know the Bible commands you to love God? Why? Because He is our Creator. He made you, and therefore He is the source of everything that you are. Now, all of us are made in the image and after the likeness of God. Physiologically, you know, that we have our minds, we have our heart, we have our emotions, our will, we can make choices, we're intelligent beings, we know how to communicate, we create languages and music, but we also have a spiritual element that cannot be satisfied with anything else because we're made in the image of God and made to know Him. And then on top of all of that, you have like your fingerprint, you have a unique personhood, personality, blend of the gifts of God and the personality of God and a heavenly divine assignment that not one of the other 7 or 8 billion people on the planet can fulfill. None of them are qualified enough to fulfill what only you uniquely can do. And God made you because He wants, you are a facet, as it were, in the diamond as He reflects His light and glory and power and majesty and beauty and artistry. You are a facet that is irreplaceable. No one can do what you do. And you are special and you are unique and you are amazing. And so we're to honor our Creator, the source of all these things.
Great encouragement from today's study in Deuteronomy. You're on Maranatha Radio with Pastor Ray Bentley. Glad you've tuned in. And listen, you can hear today's message again on CD. It's a study called The Gateway to Heaven, and we can send it to you for just $7. Contact us and mention the title, The Gateway to Heaven. And you can now get Pastor Ray's entire series in Deuteronomy on a single CD. MP3s of every one of Pastor Ray's messages from this series on one compact disc. Order online at maranatharadio.com or address a letter to Maranatha Radio, 10752 Coastwood Road, San Diego, California, 92127. Well, Pastor Ray, we're making available your latest book, The Holy Land Key. And I recently read a review, and it said the book leaves you wanting more. This person spoke of how captivating it is to go behind the scenes in biblical prophecy. They said they were stunned.
You know, that was my personal experience. You know, after studying the Bible and knowing generally about prophecy for many years, God began to open up whole new layers of understanding of the past, of the biblical feasts, and of their relevance to the church today. And I was on fire, excited. I couldn't wait to write the book. And it's really exciting to see people reading it and seeing what I've seen, learning what I learned, and then getting on fire. And that's why I can't wait for people to read it and to learn these new things. I think it's going to really change their perspective and open their eyes in some ways they can't even imagine.
And this will reveal what we see reported in the news every day in a whole new light, won't it?
It will. I think that it puts an exclamation point on the things that we keep getting jolted by as we watch what's happening. These are the very signs and patterns that Jesus said are indications the kingdom is on its way.
All right. We'll find out more in Pastor Ray's book, The Holy Land Key, available to Maranatha Radio listeners for just $10. To get a copy, write Maranatha Radio, 10752 Coastwood Road, San Diego, California, 92127, or order it online at maranatharadio.com. Next time, join Pastor Ray for more from our studies in Deuteronomy. More from God's Word next time on Maranatha Radio. Maranatha, bringing the message of Christ's soon return, the whole gospel to the whole world. Maranatha Radio with Pastor Ray Bentley is an outreach of Maranatha Chapel, 10752 Coastwood Road, San Diego, California, 92127.